We're going to be talking today about something I'm so excited about. The title of the teaching today is The Resurrection Changes Everything. Mm-hmm. The Resurrection Changes Everything. And I'm so excited to do this teaching. And when Pastor Edwin said to me, he said, on the Sunday service for Resurrection Sunday, I want you to teach the Sunday message. And I was like, oh, what am I going to teach? And immediately I said, okay, Holy Spirit, what am I going to teach? He said, I want you to teach about the resurrection. So I began to study about the resurrection, because even if you think you know something, there's always something you can learn about the resurrection. And I literally came up with so much meat about the resurrection that I reached out to Pastor Ralph and I said, hey, listen, can I teach Bible study in the month of April? So the month of April, I want you to join me, because what we're teaching today and what we're teaching Sunday morning, it is just a drop in the bucket of everything that we can say about the resurrection. So for the month of April, I'm going to be teaching Resurrection Revealed on Wednesday night, and I encourage you to join me. And there's going to be an opportunity to sign up so that you can get the worksheets and all of that different stuff. I am super excited about it, because the resurrection really does change everything.
You know, it's like we said this morning in our sunrise service, there is power in the resurrection.
There is power in the resurrection.
So I'm encouraging everybody to join us on the month of April as we dive deeper into all that the resurrection has for us, because it's not just an event. It's not just a historical day. It's not just a holiday.
Come on.
It literally is something that changes everything. And so that's what we're talking about today, the resurrection and how it changes everything.
All right, so we're going to pray and we're going to get started. But before we pray, I need 13 seconds of praise. I need your hearts. I need your fire. I need your glory to God. I need your Jesus is Lord. I need you to be excited like we were gathered in the same physical place. Excited about the resurrection. Excited that you are born again. Excited that you are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Thankful that you are not on your way to a sinner's hell, but that you are a born again believer. Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. And I want to, because we didn't say this and we always try to say this, this is Fellowship of Champions.
Yep.
And we are a skill-based ministry. And we are teaching people to walk in love, yep, live by faith, and experience God's prosperity in every area of life. And what I can assure you is that if you understand the resurrection, it is going to elevate your life in every single area.
And one of the things we always say, people say, well, why do you say we are a skills-based ministry? Because if something is a skill, it can be learned. And if it can be learned, it can be mastered. And if you master it, it will absolutely change your life.
It will bring you into victory. That's why 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, thanks be to God, mm-hmm, who has given us the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Turn and tell your neighbor, we have the victory.
We have the victory.
We have the victory, right? So we're going to pray, and then we are going to dive into this teaching, and I am just so excited about it.
Amen.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, first of all, we just want to say thank you for this day that we get to commemorate and to remember the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We are so thankful that before the foundation of the earth, the Lamb was slain, and that when Jesus was actually slain in the earth, he was just walking out the history that you had set, yes, forth to reconcile us back to you. I thank you that this is not just a historical day. I thank you that it is not just a holiday, but that it is a day that reminds us of the absolute power of God that has been released in the life of every believer.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Now, you said in your word that anytime that we can see, hear, and understand, that we shall be converted and we shall be healed. And so, Father, as we sit around your word today around the resurrection, we ask the Holy Spirit, open our eyes, open our ears, open our understanding so that we can experience conversion and walk in a level of victory that we have never walked in before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're talking about how the resurrection changes everything. And I'm going to throw out a couple of scriptures that aren't in the notes yet, but I just want you to think about this. I just prayed Matthew 13, and in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, Jesus says, anytime you see, hear, and understand, you shall be converted and you shall be healed, right? But Matthew 13:11, it says, Jesus said, it is given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Turn and tell your neighbor, resurrection is a mystery.
Resurrection is a mystery.
Resurrection is a mystery. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I always think about whenever I think about Revelation, I think about how the thing about Revelation is that when the light comes on, you don't understand why it was so dark, but it was dark when it was dark. Mm-hmm. And the best example I have of that is multiplication. I still remember when multiplication was introduced to us, and I did not know how in the world we were going to convert from what we understood about addition to what to understanding what multiplication was. The ones made sense to me. The twos made sense to me. Man, when we got to the threes, the four, the fives made sense to me. The six, but here's what happened. The more time I spent with multiplication, what happened? The light began to come on and I began to get revelation of what multiplication was. What God wants for, to happen with us through the studying of his word, the teaching of his word, and the power of the Holy Spirit is he wants every one of his mysteries to become more and more real to us. Mm-hmm. He wants us to understand we don't exhaust what we understood when we were 6 years old making Easter speeches. You know what I'm saying? That revelation ought to be growing. And so now, as people who have been walking with the Lord 30, 40 years, there ought to be a depth of our understanding about the revelation that we did not have before. Mm-hmm. Our revelation should be growing. Amen. But we know that the resurrection is a mystery because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God." The resurrection doesn't make sense to those who don't have revelation of what Jesus did. Yep. They think it's stupid. That's why they think it doesn't matter who you worship or if you worship. That is why they believe in pantheism, that God is the universe and the universe is God. But for those of us who have had Jesus revealed, and if Jesus has been revealed to you, I need you to say something in the comments. To those of us that Jesus has been revealed to, We have been exposed to the power of God that snatches us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And guys, that is good news.
It's good news.
That is good news, right? Mm-hmm. So God wants us to become intimately acquainted with the power of the resurrection and allow it to transform us from the inside out, right? Mm-hmm. The resurrection, it's more than a doctrine to believe in or an event to celebrate. It is the power of God that transforms us. And one of the things that I think about that I think that I know that we have so much more we can learn and understand and walk in about the revelation of the resurrection is because so many people accept Jesus, but they never know the power of freedom that comes with Jesus. Mm. So they come and they accept Jesus and they still struggle with everything they struggled with before Jesus. Yep. But Jesus did not just come so we wouldn't go to hell. Jesus came to get hell out of us, to break the power of sin in our lives. So yes, we get to come the way we are, but the resurrection is proof that we don't have to stay the way we are, that we have been redeemed and we have been set free.
You know, it's a powerful understanding because when you begin to understand how the resurrection changes everything, and I'm sure you'll get into this at some point in the month of April, The idea is that had there not been a resurrection, we could not have been endued with Holy Ghost power.
Amen.
And because of Jesus's life, because of his death, and because of his resurrection, it literally changed everything. It took us from having to wonder about what to do. It took us from having to pray for power. It took us from having to hope that God would show up to literally having God on the inside of us. And when you have God on the inside of you, that literally changes everything. Our faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it activates that, or at least opens the door for the activation for Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us. And when that happens, we get to see the power of God, and the power of God then translates us out of the kingdom of darkness, because you can accept Jesus, but then still be living according to darkness, which is what you just said. So I accept Jesus, but because I don't know the power, because I don't know the how the resurrection changes everything. I accept Jesus, but I keep living as though there was nothing connected to accepting him. And there is absolutely so much connected to accepting him, because what it does, it translates me out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son.
That's so good. You going to read Colossians 1?
Sure. Colossians chapter 1 actually says it like this in the Passion Translation. It says, he has rescued us completely, thoroughly, nothing missing. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness, from that whole kingdom of darkness and all of his systems and everything that comes along with it. And he has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved son. And so the resurrection doesn't just cause us to escape hell, and then we once we die, but then we have to live like hell while we're here. He says, no, no, no. He has rescued us completely. That means in this dimension, in this realm, and in the one to come.
That's so good. Y'all need to put in the comments, he has rescued us completely.
Completely.
Because I was thinking, what one of the things I thought was interesting is that as I knew I was going to teach about the resurrection, I started to ask people questions like, what does the resurrection mean to you? Because we always want to get some base level understanding of what believers think. And there were two things that I thought were really interesting is that when a lot of people describe the resurrection, the one thing they did not say is that the resurrection makes me new. Mm. And I thought that that was very interesting, because if I am not aware that the resurrection makes me new, then I believe that the best that I have to hope for is forgiveness of sin, not just freedom from sin. Mm-hmm. And as a person who grew up not understanding, but, you know, grew up in a church where we talked about Jesus every week, we talked about the cross, we talked about him getting up. But I remember in my college days really struggling with the fact that I wanted to live for God, right? But I did not understand that the resurrection power literally gave me the ability to break the things, whatever was in my bloodline, whatever was in my personality, whatever injuries I had occurred, whatever injuries I had done, that I literally had the ability to stand like Paul say, I have wronged no man because I am a new creature. And I think that the thing that we really have an opportunity to grow up into is that it is not just that we are going to heaven. It is that the resurrection gets hell out of us. Yeah. That's the phrase I keep hearing. What is hell in me? Hell in me, the desire to fornicate, the desire to lie, to be a grudge holder, to be overcome with depression, anxiety, stress, sickness, disease. Not only did Jesus defeat hell in the realm of the spirit, not only did Jesus free me so I could go to heaven, but Jesus has positioned me to get hell out of me. I don't have to accept bondage. Yeah.
I think that is, and it's interesting too, because, you know, we've talked about this before, that we grew up in very different backgrounds. You grew up in the Baptist church. I had most of my training growing up in the Church of God in Christ. And so whenever we ever heard about the resurrection, it was like Jesus died and he got up again. And that was great, but it was like, but why did he do it? So you can have the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Spirit is the dunamis. It is the power. The resurrection is literally the gift to us to be able to accept Holy Spirit on the inside of us, which gets hell out of us. And so it's this combination of, hey, if you don't understand that the resurrection changes everything, then you'll never understand why you need Holy Spirit. You need Holy Spirit, but you only get Holy Spirit because of what Jesus did on the cross.
Absolutely.
Because of his death and because of his resurrection, he opened the gateway for now him personally. Now think about that. For him personally to now be with each one of us all over the world at the same time simultaneously.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, absolutely.
Isn't that absolutely beautiful?
He was with the 12 and now he's with the billions.
Now he is with the billions. Mm-hmm. He is with us. And it makes the scripture come alive when it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means I don't have to go to you and say, what did God say?
Right.
I literally have God living on the inside of me, and I can say, Father, what should I do about this? Father, how do I overcome depression? How do I overcome sickness? How do I overcome this challenge in my marriage? I am an overcomer. And I read something, and I don't think I ever read this scripture before, and it's in my notes for this week, but I want to mention it. Paul says, if there is no resurrection, then the message of Jesus is in vain.
Yes.
And we are still in our sins.
I read it during the sunrise service.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He says, well, our preaching is in vain.
Who said it, Paul or Peter? Because I can't remember.
Peter. It was Peter, I believe. Well, he literally says, hey, if there is no resurrection.
If there's no resurrection.
He said, then our preaching is in vain.
And you are still in your sin.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is a resurrection, why would we settle for being in our sin?
Absolutely.
If the Bible says, if there is no resurrection, then the preaching is in vain, and we might as well cut this broadcast mm-hmm. and go have brunch.
Yep.
He says, but if the resurrection is real, and it is, it says, then why would you stay in your sin?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to stay in sin. And I think that one of the tragedies of what we have done in the kingdom is we have watered down what Jesus actually did
Absolutely.
For us. We have watered it down. I don't have to remain
Absolutely.
A whoremonger.
Absolutely.
I don't have to remain an angry person. I don't have to remain a person that struggles with my identity. The resurrection changes everything. I need the 48 of y'all that are here. I need you to share this with somebody, but I need you to put in the conversation. The resurrection has changed me.
The resurrection has changed me.
The resurrection has changed
Absolutely.
Me. It is the power of God that has changed us.
Amen.
God never intended for us to accept Jesus and continue to live in bondage.
Absolutely.
It was never his plan that we would accept Jesus and get beat up by life. It was his desire that we would accept Jesus and remember and relearn who we are in Christ.
Absolutely.
That we have authority, that we have power, that we have dominion, that we are overcomers, that we are victorious.
Yeah.
Okay, you found it.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You know, I had to. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 14 through 19. It is the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 15, 14 through 19, Paul tells us that if Christ has not been raised, he says, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. He says, your faith isn't any good if Jesus hasn't been resurrected. He said, the preaching of the gospel is useless if Christ has not been resurrected. But he goes on to say, but the truth is, Christ has been.
He has been.
Raised from the dead.
He has been.
He is the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. In other
yes.
words, he says, just like Jesus rose, there'll be a time where we depart this planet that we will be called up and caught up to meet him. He says, if indeed, praise God, the resurrection didn't happen, he said, us talking about faith ain't no good. We can shut up the doors to every church there is. He said, because if everything we talk about is based on the fact that Jesus died and rose again.
Absolutely. Somebody yeah. just asked, are we having live church?
Absolutely. 11 o'clock. Here on our
campus. But listen, he has been resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says that when he died, we died with him.
Yep.
So that when he got up, we got up with him.
Absolutely.
We were not supposed to get up and be the same.
No.
We were not supposed to get up.
No.
Now, here's the scripture I've really been hanging my hat on as we think. Is this blessing you guys this morning? Because we want to stretch in our understanding. We want to increase our revelation, because there are many of you that the enemy has been manipulating you, and he has been bullying you by tormenting you with the same issues for years, because you don't know that the resurrection changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants you to begin to live out of your resurrected position. Not your old nature.
Yep.
He wants you to know that you have been set free. And I was thinking about this. You know that the resurrection is real, and the resurrection changes us, because if you look at the disciples pre-resurrection, when they come and get Jesus, baby, the disciples, yep. Peter denies him.
Yep.
Baby, they are cowardly.
They
done took off running. Peter done cussed the folks out for saying that he knew Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right? over when Jesus came back. Mm-hmm. When Jesus came back and they got in due with the Holy Ghost, listen, they were literally willing to stand in front of the Sanhedrin and say, what should we do? Should we obey you or should we obey God? They went from these lily-livered, weak, running away disciples to being these powerful apostles of God that were willing in the face of death and persecution to not retreat from God's, what God said. That is the power of the resurrection.
Because they received power.
Because they received
power. They could stand in power because they had received power. So if you're not able to stand in power, you got to ask yourself, have I received power? And sometimes we don't receive the power because we don't understand how the resurrection changes everything.
The resurrection changes everything. Let's look at what 1 Peter said. 1 Peter 1 through 3, but I'm going to start with verse 3 and then go backwards. In 1 Peter 1 and 3, in 1 Peter 1 chapter, in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, all praise to God, glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again.
Praise God.
Because God raised Jesus from the dead.
Sounds like resurrection.
Now we live in great expectation. Now I love this right here because it says, what you just say, that sounds like resurrection. Mm-hmm. It says, we give praise to God because the actual Jesus going to the cross, dying on the cross, going to hell, getting up again, and ascending back to the right hand of Father, it is a great act of mercy. It is God's willingness to get involved in our life. Yep. It says, so we praise God for Jesus because salvation, the resurrection, is a great act of mercy. Mm-hmm. Somebody ought to thank God for his mercy.
Thank God for mercy.
Thank God for his mercy. Now listen. I know that there are these other ways that we thank God for mercy. Like if you was about to get a whooping and the Lord touched your mama heart and she didn't whoop you, you thank God for that. Mercy, when you was about to get a speeding ticket and they just gave you a warning. But baby, this is the ultimate act of mercy, that God would give his son so that we could be born again. That's why I'm so glad to be born again.
He paid a penalty that we never could have paid.
He paid a penalty that we never could have paid.
It's the great act of mercy.
It is the great act of mercy.
No matter how good we were, no matter how much we served, no matter how much we gave, no matter how benevolent we became, it never would have been enough. It never would have been enough. And so Jesus came to be the appropriation for our sins so that you and I had the opportunity to accept Jesus and escape hell. And not just escape hell in the hereafter, but to escape hell while we're here on earth, when we understand the power and how the resurrection changes everything.
And I think that what begins to happen is that as we grow in this revelation, there are things we don't tolerate from the enemy anymore. Mm-hmm. We literally say to the enemy, you can't have my mind.
Right.
My mind don't belong to you.
Right.
You can't have my body. Right. My body doesn't belong to
you. I refuse to act on every intrusive thought you send to me.
Come on.
The Holy Ghost is a mind regulator.
Come on.
I don't have to do, I don't have to say and feel and accept everything the enemy sends to me.
I do not have to accept everything the enemy sends to me. I don't care how long I've been bound with it.
I don't care how long I fought it.
I don't care what my mama thought about it and how they dealt with it. I have been redeemed. Mm.
And the Bible says that the redeemed of the Lord
they
should
gotta say so.
I have been redeemed.
I believe that when we understand who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the resurrection, it raises some boldness up in us. Mm-hmm. And what we have been tolerating and what we have been managing, we begin to speak to and we begin to say, that does not belong to me.
Absolutely.
That does not belong to me. Jesus did not die for that to belong to me. Jesus did not die for those thoughts to torment me.
He didn't die for me to have anxiety.
He didn't
die for me to have depression. He didn't die for me to struggle with sexual immorality. He did not die for that. I am redeemed, and the redeemed have to begin to say so. I am redeemed. That's those thoughts. That's not who I am. And you have to, and the Bible says that you have to resist the enemy. And if you resist him, he will flee. But I don't resist him by giving in to his thoughts. I open up my mouth and watch this. I use my faith. And why can I use my faith? Because the resurrection has happened.
Because the resurrection has happened. And I think this is so interesting that a lot of times people are trying to resist the devil with willpower instead of a revelation of who we really are.
Which is why you got to use your words. And I don't just mean regular words. You got to use the word based on this resurrection power that I have been redeemed.
I am redeemed.
Willpower, as you said, is not enough to resist the enemy.
It is not long term. Not long term. And so I've got to understand that when these thoughts come, I have to understand that when these temptations come, the Bible says that Jesus was at all point tempted and yet he did not sin. That means I have a redeemer that not only understands my sin, my struggles, my temptations, but has provided a way of escape. Tell your neighbor, there is a way of escape.
And every time I hear that, all I can think about is when the Bible says, and as Jesus
is in this world,
in this world,
so are we.
Yes, so am
I. Come on. Somebody say, preach Bible. Now let's go back to 1 Peter and let's look at it out of the Amplified. It says, I, Peter, an apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ, writing to the elect exiles of the dispersion scattered, sold abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who were chosen and foreknown by God. Now, listen, in this first part right here where he's listing all of the people, you got to say, and Sean, and Arkansans, and right. United, and people from, and Americans. You got to include that in there because in verse 2, he tells us who were chosen and foreknown by God
the Father.
Tell your neighbor, say, I was chosen.
I was chosen.
And I need you to understand, he has chosen all of us for
all
this.
All of us.
All of us. Everyone. It is not some of us can be saved and some of us cannot.
All of us.
The Bible says it is not his will that any should perish but all should come to. Baby, we is preaching this thing right here. You can't hardly preach about Jesus and the resurrection and not get excited. But I love this verse because I don't think that I had ever seen this way. It says, who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father and consecrated,
sanctified
and made holy by the Spirit. This was the part I wanted to underline.
Spirit.
To be obedient to Jesus Christ. I think this changes the framework of what people think about salvation. He says, I'm actually saved to be obedient. I was saved to be obedient. I was saved out of being obedient to the devil to be obedient to Jesus.
Which is why the Bible says that our flesh and our spirit are warring one against the other because the flesh is enmity against God. What is enmity against God? The act of not obeying him. Our flesh doesn't want to obey God. And because our flesh doesn't want to obey God, the more we give into our flesh or the more we feed our flesh, the stronger we allow our flesh to become to cause us to be more and more disobedient to God, which is antithetical to this scripture right here that says, who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father and consecrated, sanctified, made holy, and set apart by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ.
Now I gotta say this because you coached, I knew that even though it didn't say set apart, you was gonna say set up.
You know, baby, my background.
You was gonna say set up.
Sanctified, made holy, and set apart.
Absolutely. And set apart. Because listen, I've been set apart. That means I've been set apart from sexual immorality.
I've been set apart from disobedience.
I've been set apart from disobedience. That ain't my heritage no more. That's not my heritage. So those of you who were like, oh, I don't fornicate anymore, you know what you've been, what the revelation should come to you? You have been set free from slow obedience.
Yes.
You have been set free from slow obedience. Tell your neighbor, I obey quickly. I obey quickly. Who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father, consecrated, set apart, made holy, sanctified, set apart, made holy by the Spirit. To be obedient to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and to be sprinkled with his blood. Now, the rest, verse 3 says, may grace, spiritual blessing, may grace and spiritual blessing be given to you. Who? The people who have been set apart, chosen and foreknown, sanctified to be obedient to Christ and to be sprinkled with the blood. May grace and peace be given to you in increasing abundance, that spiritual peace to be realized in and through Christ, freedom from fears, agitating passions, and moral conflicts. Babe, you can preach this right here. He says, listen here, let me tell you something. You can preach this for weeks. He says, to those of us who are born again, there is a grace, a spiritual blessing that is given to us in a increasing abundance. That spiritual peace to be realized. So it tells us where we get peace from. In and through Christ. And it tells us what it does for us. It gives us freedom from all fears. From agitating passion. Mm-hmm. Baby, what is agitating passion?
Them intrusive thoughts.
Them things
that make you want to do stuff you know you're not supposed to do. And then you linger and think about it. And you don't do it the first 10 times. But because you don't put it in its proper place, the 11th time it comes, you find yourself doing it. And then you're like the Apostle Paul when he says, the things that I would to do, I don't do, but the things that I would not to do, I find myself doing. He says, it's no more I, but it's the sin that dwells in me. But you got to remember, you've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed.
You got to get that sin out of you because it's already out of you. You got to get it out of your flesh. And the way you do it is by remembering that by his grace and peace, that has been given to you in an increasing measure of
increasing abundance.
That spiritual peace is realized in and through Christ. You are free from fears. You are free from them agitating passions.
And I'm free. Thoughts
in every moral conflict.
I'm free from moral conflict. So when the world is saying go this way.
When the world says this is okay.
And the Bible says this is not okay.
I'm free from entertaining
that.
I go back to the scripture that says I've been designed and engineered to obey Christ.
I've been designed.
I was thinking about this while you were speaking. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I was thinking about, you know, we bought a new gas stove about a year ago. And when I was cooking on it and I spilled some grease inside the little thing. I cleaned it up and everything worked fine. But as the grease hardened, it stopped the igniter from being able to ignite. Well, we had to call and they had to come out and they had to replace the igniter. Well, I was thinking about this. That stove was originally designed and engineered to work a particular way. Something came and got in the way of that thing working the way it was supposed to be. And we couldn't use it the way it had been designed. But then once we called out the repairer, the repairer came out and fixed the stove, and now it works according to its original design. We are that stove. We were designed and engineered to live a life obedient to Christ. Something came and interfered.
That something was sin.
It came and interfered with our ability to ignite like we were supposed to. And then we call the repairer Jesus Christ. And when Christ shows up in our life, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ shows up in our life, cleans out the gunk. Now we can ignite and work just like we were designed and operated to. Girl, listen.
Somebody ought to say glory to God. Thank God
for the repairer.
Listen, let me tell you something. I remember years ago, this lady, Sister Sandy Burris, she used to say to us, your Bible will preach to you if you let it. Baby, let me tell you something. If you bored reading the Bible, it's because you ain't letting it speak to you.
You ain't letting
Listen, yesterday, even though we had our notes, all this stuff, I'm listening to a message on the resurrection. You're in the kitchen cooking. And I keep saying, my God. And you keep saying to me.
What?
And I'm like, man, I'm listening to this dude preach about the resurrection. And I understand what it means to quicken your mortal body. I'm sitting on the couch listening in my AirPods to somebody preach about the resurrection while I'm watching the basketball game. But what would happen is that he would be in to talk about what Jesus had done for us. And I would find myself jumping up. Why am I jumping up? Because my mortal body is being quickened by the revelation of what Jesus has done for me. There is just no way to me you can really know what Jesus has done. And you keep sitting still. It don't cause you to throw your hands up. It don't cause you to say glory to God. It don't cause you to say hallelujah. If the word doesn't move you, then what I submit is that you have an intellectual relationship with it, not a faith relationship with it. My God. And then it says, so the cleansing of our sins. So we have to understand that Jesus had to do all the things. Tell your neighbor, Jesus had to do all the things.
He had to do all the things.
Now I'm just going to walk you through it quickly because we're going to wrap this up.
But you want to join us for April.
Number one, Jesus had to be born of a virgin. He had to be born of a virgin because men, The blood from a baby comes from the Father. And in the blood of every human man was sin because of what Adam did. Mm-hmm. So God had to come in the earth through the womb of a woman, but the empowering of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is so important, guys. It had to be a man. And the reason that it had to be a man is because God could not pay the penalty that man owed as God. That is why Jesus had to walk 100% as a human endowed by the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
So when we see the things that Jesus did, he is not doing them as God. He is doing them as a man possessed by God.
Come on now.
Now, y'all better hear what I'm saying.
In the Kojic church, we say he came to be an example.
No, he came to be an example. Jesus, somebody asked me, they said, how do I learn who I really am? I said, I spent 3 years just reading the Gospels. Mm-hmm. Because if I want to know who I am, I don't look at David. Mm-mm. I don't look at Moses. Mm-mm. I don't look at Abraham. Mm-mm. I don't look at Paul. I look at Jesus, because the Bible says, as Jesus is in this world, so are we. So I look at Jesus. And when I look at Jesus, I got to have the proper perspective that Jesus is living as 100% man, but he is a man who is possessed by God. Mm-hmm. Somebody say, Holy Ghost possess me.
Holy Ghost possess me.
Holy Ghost possess me. Mm-hmm. Now, he has to be born of a virgin. He has to live as a man possessed by God, and he has to live a sinless life. He has to live a sinless life, because it's only through a sinless life that he has the ability to go to the cross and pay the penalty.
That's right.
But what he has to do is the reason that they take the Passover before he goes to the cross, my God, is that he has to make an exchange with them.
Yep.
And when he says, eat my body and drink my blood, he is making an exchange with them so that he can take their position. When he goes to Gethsemane and he says, let this cup be removed from me, he is not actually talking about the crucifixion. He is talking about, in order to do the next thing, the Holy Ghost must leave
him. Yes, yes.
He is not grieved.
The possession must go.
By the crucifixion, he is grieved by the fact that the Holy Ghost must leave. Why must the Holy Ghost leave? The Holy Ghost must leave because the scripture tells us that every time the enemy comes to Jesus, he cannot find the thing that he sees in other human beings. So the Holy Ghost, so Jesus through communion makes an exchange and he takes on a sinful nature. Now, anybody who's ever seen any kind of vampire movies, any werewolf movies, what happens is that when the Holy Ghost leaves Jesus, the devil starts sniffing and he starts sniffing and he can smell sin. Now, Jesus has to go to the cross because it is only through his death that he can get in to hell.
Which is why the Bible says that had the devil known that what he was about to do to Jesus would release God upon the whole world,
he never crucified. The Bible says that had the devil known, he never would have crucified Jesus. Because what is happening is a principle of exchange.
Glory to God.
That what happens is that the devil thinks in the upper room, the devil thinks, he sinned.
Yeah, I got him.
He sinned.
I got him.
And now I'm about to bring him to hell. Yes. And Jesus is thinking, hell is exactly where I need to be. But he never could have walked into hell on his own, because you only get access to hell through sin. Baby, listen, we as preachers better than they saying amen. So imagine this. That Jesus dies on the cross and he has to shed his blood, because the Bible says without the shedding of the blood,
there is no remission of sin.
So this perfect sacrifice has to shed his blood, but he also has to die, because if he doesn't die, he cannot get into hell. Can y'all imagine? Can you use your sanctified imagination to imagine how the enemy has been pursuing Jesus all this time, and he cannot find a way in. And he thinks that Jesus has finally done what Adam has done, and he has rebelled against God. And so he ushers him to the cross expeditiously so that he can get him in hell, because he thinks that when he gets him in hell, that he's going to get him to bow the way that he could not do in the wilderness. Can you imagine the shock of hell when Jesus gets to hell and throws off our sins? Mm-hmm.
And then the Bible says that he receives a power. And it says that the same power that got Jesus up out of the grave is the same power that we now have. The enemy thought Jesus had been left on his own. But what he did not know, that there had already been written through the annals of time what the Father was going to do to him.
It was a divine setup. So Jesus goes to hell. Mm-hmm. The Bible says he goes to hell and he snatches the keys that the enemy took from Adam. Mm-hmm. And then it says he goes to Abraham's bosom,
yes,
which is not heaven. And he begins to preach them. He says, you know that promise that you heard about. You know what you heard about Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. I am him. And that's why the scripture tells us that after Jesus resurrects, they begin to see those people walking among the streets of Jerusalem. Yes. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then he gets up with all power in his hands. And he don't just get up with all power in his hands. He gets up, tosses the keys to humanity, and then ascends back to the Father and says, I'm going to sit here and let you be me in the earth.
I'm going to send a comforter for you.
The
paraclete, the teacher, the one who will give you all wisdom and insight. I'm going to be in you for the rest of your lives.
I'm going to go to heaven so you can be me in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, but listen.
That's why the Bible says, had he known.
Had he known, they never would have crucified him. And I think it must baffle angels.
I like what Kim said. There was always a freedom plan.
There was always a freedom plan. I love this because I really love any kind of movies with like strategy and good versus evil.
It's better than any Marvel movie they could ever make up.
It is.
Just the real story of what happened is better than anything that anybody could ever think up.
Because the devil thinks he has Jesus.
Oh, he thought he had
right him. Where he wants
yes.
him. But all the time, Jesus had the devil right where he wanted
him. Always a divine
step. Because it was never just about Jesus being free. Jesus was already free.
He came to destroy the works of the devil. Yes.
Now, can you imagine how confused angels must be to watch us accept Jesus and stay in bondage?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how confused the angels must be to say, but they've been resurrected.
Mm.
Why would they tolerate that? Why don't they stand up from that? Don't they know who they are? Don't they know what Jesus has done for them?
God.
Don't they know what's been available to them? And that's why the Bible says the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing. Because it's like when you're going through and you're like, I can't come out of sexual immorality. I can't come out of anxiety. The angels are like, don't they know? Don't they know what has been made of? Tell your neighbor, say, don't you know? Don't you know the reality of what he has done for you? Don't you know that in any area you are in bondage, that you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and make an exchange? Don't you know you don't have to let fear dominate you? Don't you know you don't have to let generational curses dominate you? Don't you know? I declare it's time for us to know. Now, we just want to give these few little things because I listen. Because the scripture that we were looking at in 1 Peter 2, it talks about being sprinkled with the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying to you, I had never known this before. I didn't know this. And in Hebrews 9 and 22, it says, in fact, under the law, almost everything is cleansed with blood.
Mm-hmm.
And without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. neither release from sin and its guilt, or no consolation of the merited punishment. Now, I really want y'all to sit in the scripture right here. It says, under the law, everything had to be cleansed by blood. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no release of sin and its guilt. And without the shedding of the blood, there is no cancellation of the punishment. Oh, so, but Jesus.
Of the merited punishment.
Of the deserved
punishment.
The deserved punishment.
Because don't get it twisted. We deserve punishment.
The Bible says the wages of sin
is
death. So wait a minute. Jesus shed his blood.
Yep.
So because Jesus shed his blood, there is forgiveness.
There is forgiveness.
Because Jesus shed his blood, there is a release mm-hmm. of sin and the guilt of mm-hmm. sin. So what? Wait a minute. So you mean to tell me that when I have come out of sin and I'm still letting the enemy torment me and tell me that I don't deserve to be blessed because I used to be X, I've been forgiven for that.
You've been forgiven.
Been forgiven for that. I don't have to keep talking about that.
You do not.
That's not coming from God.
Nope.
God is not trying to remind me of how much I messed up to keep me under his thumb.
In fact, he says he cast those things as far as the east is from the west.
I just want us to be clear, because I want you to know that the next time you hear an intrusive thought telling you what you don't deserve because of how you messed up, you need to know that's the devil.
Amen.
You need to know that that's not God.
Amen.
And then there is cancellation mm-hmm. of the deserved punishment because of what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought this was interesting, because we know the Bible tells us in Hebrews that we have a new and better covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about this. This is so beautiful. There were three circumstances in the Old Testament where blood was sprinkled on people.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, to establish the old covenant.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first place. Number two, to establish the ordination of Aaron and his sons as priests.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, anytime a leper was cleansed. Now, that's what we know that the blood did in the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
the blood of animals,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, what does the blood of Jesus do? The blood of Jesus accomplishes those same things in our lives. Number one, it says a covenant is formed.
Mm-hmm.
The blood of Jesus gives us access to a covenant. Hebrews 10 and 16 says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. I will write them."
Mm-hmm.
We have a new covenant.
We do. Praise God for that. We have a new covenant. And then the second thing it does is that we are ordained as priests to him. People say, "Well, wait a minute, I'm not an ordained priest." Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, yes, you are.
The word of God says so in 1 Peter 2 and 9. We say this all the time. We are a
chosen generation.
And as part of that chosen generation, we've been called to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. One that we should show forth the praise of him who have called us out of what?
Darkness.
And into his
marvelous light.
We are ordained as priests to him.
Called us out of darkness. What's another word for darkness? Sin.
Mm-hmm.
Called us out of sin.
Called us out of bondage.
Called us out of bondage. Mm-hmm. And then number three, we are cleansed from our corruption and sin.
Mm.
Matthew 26 and 28, it says, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Ephesians 1 and 7, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass according to the riches of his grace."
And that's that grace that we just preached about earlier, that grace and that peace that he gives us. And so then the next thing is that we talk about the shedding of blood and what the shedding of blood that Jesus did for us, what it grants us. And so it grants us three things. The shedding of of Jesus' blood grants us, number one,
forgiveness
of sin.
I am forgiven.
Forgiveness. Major, because it's a forgiveness that we could have never bought ourselves.
Amen.
We couldn't have been good enough for it. We couldn't have networked into it. Forgiveness is what we needed. The shedding of Jesus' blood gives us that. Number two, the release from sin and its guilt. We were born into sin. We've all messed up. But like you said, we don't have to keep reaching back and grabbing hold to the guilt of that. Jesus shed blood frees us. It gives us forgiveness. And then it frees us or releases us not only from future sins, but from the guilt of those sins. And then number three, it gives us the cancellation of what we just talked about, that merited punishment. We deserved it. We earned it. We were born into it. We walked into it. Some of us ran to sin. Some of us lived in it for a while. He says, even with all of that, he says, now that Jesus' blood has been shed for you and you've come into the revelation knowledge of it, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are forgiven. You've been released from sin and the guilt and the cancellation of the punishment that comes with it.
How many of you think we should just take 13 seconds and praise the Lord?
Yep.
Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you that the resurrection is so much bigger than mm-hmm. we even know.
Yes.
I want to thank you that you are so mindful of us, that you want us to be free and free indeed. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you that we are forgiven. I want to thank you that we are released from sin. We don't have to keep living in sin, and we are released from the guilt of sin.
Amen.
And we have been canceled. We have been separated from the punishment that we rightfully deserve. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for that. We just want to say we acknowledge the resurrection changes everything. Now, as we go, we want to give y'all these five benefits just to think about. Just to think about, right? So number one, what we want to think about is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ makes us alive.
Praise God. We're not just existing. We're
living. The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes us alive. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen.
The Bible says that when Adam and Eve sinned, before they sinned, that God was the one who introduced death. He said, if you eat this, you will die. You will be separated from me. There will be things in your physical body. There will be things in your destiny. You will die. And it says, so as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, say, I've been made alive.
I've been made alive.
I am alive in Christ.
And not only am I alive in Christ, I'm new. The Bible says to us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us a brand new nature.
I'm new.
Somebody put that in the comment section. I'm new.
1 Corinthians 5:17
says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, then that man is a new creature, a new creation, something that's never existed before. It says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us a new nature.
So I've been made alive and I've been made new. And then the resurrection of Jesus gives me power over sin.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thank God he gives us victory over sin and death mm-hmm. through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is so beautiful what he has done for us. So he's made us alive. He's made us new, and he's given us power over sin and death.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ.
And all of that is so that we can do this next thing, which is walk into our true identity of sonship. The resurrection of Jesus redeems our true identity, restoring our sonship to God.
Yes.
John 1:12 in the New Living Translation says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become
the children of God. Yes, that's so beautiful.
Amen.
And then finally, the resurrection of Jesus restores our fellowship to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love this scripture right here. It says, Ephesians 3:16-17, it says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources,
mm-hmm.
that he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit, that Christ will make
his home
in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down in God's love and keep you strong.
You'll be like a tree.
You'll
unmovable.
Be unmovable. This is so beautiful.
I love it.
Listen, we're getting ready to go. But before we go, as we get ready to take up the offering, we want to make this appeal. Is there anybody out there that you need to give your life to Jesus?
Mm.
Man, this is so beautiful. This wonderful family that God has called us to, not to struggle, not to let hell dominate over us, but to restore our fellowship with God. So if you're out here and you're like, I need to give my life to Jesus, or I need to return my life to Jesus, then put in the comments, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to return my life to Jesus today. This is the life that I want to live. I want to live this resurrected life. Mm-hmm. And you may be saying, listen, I've accepted Jesus, but I feel like I struggle all the time. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift to every believer. You need to receive the Holy Spirit by faith. You don't receive the Holy Spirit by tearing. You receive the Holy Spirit the same way you receive Jesus,
by faith.
You have to believe that it is the will of God for you to have the Holy Spirit endued on the inside of you so you have fellowship with God. So if you want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, say that's me. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, say that's me. And if you want to be a partner of FOC, this church that is intent on teaching people to walk in love and live by faith and experience God's prosperity in every area of life, we invite you to go to our website and to fill out the partnership form. Go to www.focchurch.com, scroll down and become a partner. But listen, being a partner with us before you're a partner with Jesus ain't the win. Mm-mm. You got to start out being a partner with Jesus. Amen. And then come and be a partner with us. Amen. Because you are a partner. Amen. With Jesus, right? And so, but I want to know, guys, what did you take from this message? How are you going to apply this message to your day-to-day life? What is going to change for you? What is going to elevate for you as a result of hearing that? We want to hear that as we put up this. This is your opportunity to give. Man, my seed today is called resurrection. I'm just sowing today because I'm thankful for the resurrection. So we want to hear in the comments how you're going to apply this message to your life. We're going to put up the giving scriptures information so that you can give. But remember, if you're accepting Jesus this morning, we want to see in the comments that I'm accepting Jesus. If you're becoming a partner this morning, we want to see in the comments, I'm becoming a partner this moment. But we also want to hear, how are you going to apply this to your life?
And listen, while you're getting ready to put those in the comment, while we're getting ready to share the giving banner, I want you to take a look at the scripture that's on the screen. It was our last scripture. I don't want to end without it. It's 1 Corinthians 15:22. And it says literally, for as in Adam, all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. If you take nothing else from today's teaching, you need to know that the resurrection changes everything. It makes you alive. It Amen. Makes you alive. So go ahead and let us know what it is that you got from today's teaching. We will share with you the giving banner so that you are able to sow your seed. Here at Fellowship of Champions, we are 100% giving ministry. We are 100% serving ministry. We thank God for all of our partners and for all that they do, for the way you sow, the way you give, the way you honor your pledges for Project 2024. Pastor Sean and I say all the time, we talk to other pastors, we say all the time, we have one of the best churches this side of heaven.
We
and it is a result of all of our partners who on a weekly basis join us for prayer, join us for refresh, join us for Ed Talk, join us for Strategies for Success, join us for Praise and Worship on Sunday mornings, join us for Sunday Celebration. Listen, we come to give you the word so that you can live out a transformative life, and you show up and you take this word and you become everything God has called us to be. And for us as pastors, that makes us excited.
That makes us excited. And we have three people that have shared. A Facebook user, I can't see your name, says, awesome teaching. I'm not just alive. I'm new. I have freedom. I have power.
Amen.
Ivy says, my takeaway is really knowing that I have been redeemed. Every old thing I have ever done has been washed away
Praise
with the blood
God
of Jesus.
That.
I don't need to go back to what I have been freed from.
Amen.
Tracy says, Jesus releases me from sin and guilt. I'm not blaming myself anymore.
Praise God.
Kimberly Jansen says, my sins are forgiven. I can live new in Christ.
You can.
Man, I think there's some other
you
people
can.
That want to share as
you
you're giving this morning. You want to put that in the comments. You want to share that with your friends and family today. Man, listen, God has been so good to us and we are celebrating this, but I really want everybody to take away what Ivy said here. I am redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
Every old thing I have ever done has been washed away with the blood of Jesus. And it's the end for me. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go back to what I have been freed from.
In fact, the Bible tells us not to do that. It says, don't be like the dog that returns to its vomit. It says what you have been freed from, don't go back to it. Don't be the dog who regurgitates the thing that was irritable to his stomach and then you go back and lap it up again. He says that's the visual you should have every time you want to go back to something that God has freed you from.
Let me just add this. I want you to know this. When something in you wants to go back to sin, it's not the real you. Mm-mm. I want you to begin to identify that. The thing that you feel that wants to cuss somebody out, that wants to fornicate, that wants to steal the time, that is not the real you. That is your flesh. Yeah. That's not the real you. Yeah. Keisha says, we can defeat anything. I can defeat anything that comes against me. Brenda says, I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus and I don't have to go back. Sunitra says, I am not my mistakes. I am free. Everybody just say, thank you, Jesus, as we get ready to go. Man, we're getting ready to go to the live service. If you're in Northwest Arkansas, we encourage you, jump up, throw on some clothes. Let's get here and let's worship. We'll see those of you. What is our, when is our date?
April 21st.
April 21st.
April 21st
is our next
huddle after today, April 21st.
Ivy, that's not the real you. And I think that when we begin to distinguish, the real me doesn't want to cuss people out.
Right.
The real me doesn't want to fight against God.
Right.
The real me doesn't want to disappoint God. When I begin to distinguish between the real me and my flesh nature, I will stop letting the enemy make me think I'm a failure. That ain't even me.
Right.
And I remember when I used to think that Paul was so arrogant when he would say, I have wronged no man. No, Paul had a revelation
yeah.
of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. He was like, that's not me anymore. Tell your neighbor, that's not me anymore.
That's not me.
Tell your neighbor, you're going to have to get to know the new me.
Yeah.
The new me is walking with God.
Amen.
We're going to go, Father, we thank you for our precious partners. We thank you for what you have done in our lives. We thank you for the increase. Let this word expand and expand and expand and expand until it pushes out everything that's not like you. Help us to be able to give this word to other people, even people who are struggling and wondering if they can come to you.
Yes.
People who are struggling in the kingdom, wondering how they can get over things. Let what we are being taught here not just impact us, not just convert us, but help us to be able to communicate it in a way that brings revelation and freedom to others. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We love you guys so much. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. God bless you.
Remember, he is risen.
He is risen.